Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
So this morning is the second message in our series titled, The Holy Spirit, My Partner, and My God. And so I'm preaching Pastor Jack's notes this morning. He's out in Mukunji doing his thing and visiting our Mukunji people. And so if you love this message, by all means, give him credit. And if you do not like this message, by all means, give him credit. J.Robleski@nc4.org. The connecting music this morning was something that some of my fellow nerds out there may have recognized. It was from The Lord of the Rings. And it was a song by the artist Enya. And she sings these lines. Listen. She says, a promise lives within you now. It may be the shadow's call. We'll fly away. May it be your journey to the light of day when the night is overcome. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this morning is the journey of the Holy Spirit to light the day when the night is overcome. Amen? And the Lord was doing some neat things this morning during worship, talking about breakthrough. The Holy Spirit is all about breakthrough. I see the way that the Holy Spirit works in our lives as being something kind of like a quest, a journey. Have you noticed all the quest literature in Christianity? Some of the best works of literature have something to do with quests. Pilgrim's Progress, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, like Eric referenced, Voyage of the Dawn Treader, Lord of the Rings. So I'm going to present that the work of the Holy Ghost is a journey of sorts. Now, last week, Delana and Chad did an excellent job, and they probed a really difficult but important passage from the Gospel of John chapter 26, when the resurrection Jesus appears in the midst of the disciples, and he breathes upon them, and he says this, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he says, receive. In other words, seize upon, gain hold of, receive the Holy Spirit. And we all, of course, have the right to ask a question. Wait a second. Don't the disciples receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? I mean, we read about it in Acts. It happened there. And of course they do. So what's going on? What's the deal? Jesus goes on to say, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So as Delana and Chad pointed out last week, they received the Holy Spirit within whereby they were given a moral authority, or what we call godliness. And it is the godliness that is the prelude to the Holy Spirit falling upon them for a reason, for a mission, for a quest, for a journey. And if I could sum up the journey that the Holy Spirit sets all of us on, it is this point. The fullness of the Holy Spirit journeys us from godliness into mission. Godliness to mission. This is a quest that takes us all through our Christian lives. It's not a one-time deal. And I'm glad that Delaney and Chad began the series with the look at John chapter 20. If we skimp on the godliness, the mission becomes tainted. And as charismatics, we've all seen enough of that. But it begs a question regarding whether we want the series to take us as a church. Where do we want to go with this? I feel that the Lord is saying that we are in a season where we are going to renew our quest. Our quest sometimes needs to be renewed. We need to be reminded of what our quest is. There's a problem in how we teach the doctrine of the Holy Spirit from time to time. We say it this way, by the Spirit we are born again. By the baptism of the Spirit, we are empowered. Amen? And then sometimes we feel like, well, we're done. We've done it all. And Patience's word this morning was a perfect springboard and a perfect picture that God wants to do more in our lives. And he's not done with us yet. But the truth is that whether we look at church history or the patterns of the scripture, here is a truth that emerges time and time and time and time again. In the kingdom of God, folks, the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes, and it comes again, and it comes again, and it comes again, and it comes again, and it comes again. And that's awesome. This is what Peter insists in Acts chapter 13. And by the way, it's the same pattern from godliness to mission. Scriptures say this, therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed to you. Folks, I believe that as a church, if we have God, Jesus always has a new appointment of the Holy Spirit for us. We can't miss that. It leads us to this thought. A sign that we have gotten God in our realization that we never get it, is the realization that we never get all of God that there is to get. Let me say that again. A sign that we've gotten God is our realization that we never get all of God that there actually is to get. If we ever stop, we're missing it. You understand? Pastor Jack has been doing this whole series on the Moravian Pentecost. All of those whom the Holy Spirit fell upon were mature Christians. These weren't brand new Christians. They're mature Christians. They've suffered for their faith, and yet God is not done with them yet. There's more. They needed more of God. I want to open up a passage of Scripture this morning from the book of Acts, and it is very important. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It will be up front as well. But it's not often that studied from time to time when we're talking about this thing called the Holy Spirit. It displays a whole group of saints who are humble enough to understand that although they got God, they didn't have all of God that there was to get. And there's a progression of their experiencing from the Lord. This particular chapter in Acts chapter 18, I went to Philadelphia Biblical University. I was a charismatic going to a school where they did not like charismatics all that much. All right, they believed in a doctrine called cessationism. Basically, it says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, some of them are still for us today, but the more miraculous gifts ceased to happen at the end of the apostolic age. In other words, they were for the apostles for the spread of the early church time period. But then when the scriptures were completed, there was no need for the miraculous gifts anymore because we now have the Bible. That's kind of the general mentality of cessationism. This chapter in Acts chapter 18 was like my greatest tool for annoying my professors in my doctrine class, okay? Because I would bring it up all the time, and they'd sometimes try to address it, sometimes they'd skirt around it, or sometimes they'd just get angry at me, and I wasn't very popular in their eyes. But it was my greatest weapon against cessationist theology because it shows this move of the Holy Spirit that I think we need to grip this morning too. So you can turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Acts chapter 18. We're going to begin in verse 24. It says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, in other words, an excellent communicator. He was competent in the scriptures. He was very persuasive in the scriptures. Verse 25, he'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. See, he understood how Christians were to walk. And being fervent in spirit, the text reads, the Spirit, which infers that Apollos was waking in the measure of the Holy Spirit. He spoke and talked accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. Verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside, not publicly, but privately, respectfully. They took him aside and they explained to him the way of God more accurately, more completely, even more comprehensively than he knew. So get a load of this. Priscilla's name comes first here. This is opposite of the way Luke introduces her with her husband earlier in verse 2. Why? Well, it's interesting. She's an instructor. She's a female instructing a Jewish scholar here. How dare she do that? Oh my gosh, I'm surprised they didn't all leave. This is also a picture of Apollos' humility here. Apollos receiving authoritative instruction from a Jewish woman culturally was not accepted, even if she was with her husband. But I love Aquila. We need more Aquilas here. We need more Priscillas here, willing to step back and let their spouses shine instead of pushing them aside. Amen? Come on. Verse 27. And when he wished to cross Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples and welcomed him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. Verse 28. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Christ was Jesus. Now, Corinth was the capital of Achaia. Verse 19. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, watch this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, these guys were disciples of Jesus. The scriptures calls them disciples. They were believers, okay? This implies that Paul understands one can be a believer and a disciple of Jesus and be lacking a measure of the Holy Spirit. And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? They said, in John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what's the difference? The difference is that baptism in Jesus is an immersion into death and resurrection power, right? And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. Now, the word here for men, folks, is not a generic word. It means male human being, okay? A physical male. So why would Luke include this little piece here of information? It seems arbitrary. But see, the number 12 in the scriptures represented complete government. 12 apostles, 12 tribes, 12 elders. And so biblically, it makes sense that Luke sees this as a new completion of authority in the church at Ephesus. There's a lot going on behind the scenes here. So why is it so important, despite their maturity, for these believers to be infilled with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's the reason. The Holy Spirit's gift is an experience of God so that God isn't a mere belief. He isn't a mere idea, and he isn't just a mere argument. See, I'm fascinated, folks, by the fact that in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, the Holy Spirit doesn't just dump fire en masse upon the disciples, right? Check it out. They are individual tongues of fire over their heads. They separate themselves on an individual basis. And then there's a tongue of fire there for everyone. The distribution of the anointing is individually over each of them. Listen up now. The Holy Spirit conforms and changes us individually, our identities individually, our personalities individually, and then he transforms us and that into God's image. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's called breakthrough. That's called transformation. God doesn't care so much what we think about him, the notions that we entertain, our conclusions concerning him, but God cared so much that he died so that we would have an active and vibrant relationship with him through the power of the Holy Spirit. With all our human foils, all the mess, folks, walking in the power of love of the Holy Spirit is a million times sweeter than entertaining any notions about God that amount to abstractions. It's about relationship. But folks, healthy relationships have to grow. They can't stay inert. And experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit is a delight. It is truly, truly a delight. And just to be real this morning, some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who walk around like there's a dark cloud over their head, pointing the finger at everything that they're doing wrong and then everything everyone else is doing wrong, and they just seem absolutely miserable. This is not what God is calling us to be. All right? This is not the Jesus that the world needs to see in us. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a delight, folks. If you don't have a smile on your face from time to time and you're living Eeyore Christianity, it's not going to cut it. Okay?
Thanks for noticing me.
The Lord has more. So we delight in him, and watch this, the Holy Spirit delights in filling in the gaps of our relationship and experience of God. The Holy Spirit has that delight. We delight in him, he delights in us. He loves to fill us with his presence. Priscilla and Aquila don't stop Apollos from ministering, even though his education and experience of God is somewhat lacking or incomplete. They actually encourage him to go for it. Don't stop, go for it. Apollos preached repentance. He preached faith in Messiah. He knew how the whole of the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus. He was a theological guy. This was probably more than many of the disciples even had to begin with. But having said that, Apollos had gaps in his understanding of the Scriptures. But more importantly, he had gaps not just in his understanding, but his experience of God. One of the happenings highlighted here is that there were Jews who were embracing Jesus as Messiah outside the ministry of the apostles. And when hands were laid upon them, boom, bingo, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, identical to Pentecost, began to happen. In other words, here in Ephesus, as same thing at Cornelius' house, they got the Holy Ghost. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it takes us right back to that same source of faith that happened at Pentecost. It's not a different thing, it's the same one. It's amazing. It's not a storybook fantasy, folks. It's the same power. Paul's response to the believers in Ephesus perfectly parallels Priscilla and Aquila's response to Apollos. You got gaps? Great, we got good news. It sounds like that milk advertisement. Got milk? Got gaps? We got good news for you. You can have more of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is a teacher also. It's not as if we are not to be uninformed here, right? But the information, the empowerment only has meaning in God in as much as lives are authentically transformed. This, I think, is the reason that the Holy Spirit comes to us in so many different dramatic ways, so many different strange ways, so many different bizarre ways at times. A revival yields things that don't always make sense to us. But a mighty harvest cannot be awakened without God being able to be given the freedom to do what he wants to do. And it might even make us feel awkward on some level. There's a phrase that I hear in evangelical circles from time to time, and it's a bit annoying. It says, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. You know, they say that because they want to dismiss some of the things that they don't quite understand. You know, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He won't do anything that'll make you feel too uncomfortable, right? Are you serious? What Bible are you reading? Where do we see this in the Scriptures? Well, was the Holy Spirit a gentleman when he fell upon Saul and he prophesied all night naked? Was the Holy Spirit a gentleman when Jesus receives power and he immediately is sent into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? Was the Holy Spirit a gentleman when the apostles spill out into the streets and are accused of being drunk? If you ask him to explain himself before you let him in, folks, forget it, because he comes on his own terms. Amen. And that's the way the Holy Spirit rolls. And that's what makes him awesome. And that's what makes me realize it's not about me. It is about him. He can come in tongues of fire. He can come as a drunk, babbling person. He can shake. He can cause an earthquake. He can cause a human soul to be turned inside out. He can cause you to simply love and understand love for the first time. He can come in the simple form of a dove. He comes on his terms, not on ours. Water, wine, wind, fire, calming of a storm. I think that the drama of his coming is according to our need. The Holy Spirit can be a breath of fresh air and empowering us, like in John 20, 22. He can come as a wind of challenge in John 3, 1, or even a hurricane in Exodus 15, 8. Depending on what reality our lives lack, God sees it, and he meets our need. No matter what, at the end of the day, he wants transformation. He wants to transform us. He wants us to be created into a new being. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, Jesus said. And what? And drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures say, from his innermost being will flow rivers, not streams, not puddles, not trickles, rivers of living water. And just in case we don't get it, he said, but this he spoke of the Spirit. How does it happen? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we're moving into a season, folks, where God is going to refresh this church. But Jesus said that if any of us are thirsty, we have to come to him and we have to drink. The water's not just going to be poured into our mouths. We have to drink. Drinking is a very active thing. Okay? We have to swallow. I believe, folks, that this is what the Lord wants to do this morning. And here is a very important principle. The Holy Spirit is interested in transforming us more than he is in informing us. See? Apollos was an informed person. He understood the scriptures. But the Holy Spirit is more interested in your transformation than in your information. All right? And there's power in that comprehension. You see, folks, that leads us to this last principle this morning. We have to take a drink if we want to be transformed into a drink. Right? If we want to be transformed into that living river, we have to take a drink before we can become a drink for others. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life and into your heart, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You need to say, I am tired of feeling like I'm stuck in the same old spot. I just need more of you, God. In the name of the Father and the Son, and your Holy Spirit, God.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.